Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving week and weekend. We are back as we get prepared for the holidays. This week, we have Brad Faxon on the Clubhouse after playing around with President Trump, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson. The man has been busy with media, and he took some time to chat with us as well. And of course, this week's episode is brought to you by OGO. We are nearing the holidays, and if you're looking for that holiday gift for the golf in your life, may I suggest the OGO Sierra Stand Bag. The 2018 edition is out, and it is fabulous. OGO sent me one, and it's everything you'd want in a golf bag. It's lightweight, it's easy to carry, it's comfortable on the shoulders, and all that without jeopardizing pocket space for the jackets and gloves you might need as it gets cooler and cooler. OGO is the leader in golf bag design, and they continue to pump out great products, including the Sierra Stand Bag. Check out all those products at OGO.com, and at checkout, use the promo code THECLUBHOUSE with no spaces, and boom, you will save 20%. Yes, 20%. Why not save a little bit of dough this holiday season? OGO.com, The Clubhouse. You will not regret it. And if you're listening to this on a Monday, at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight on FS1, the 2017 U.S. Open Golf's newest star re-airs. It aired after the Thanksgiving football game on Fox. Now it'll be on FS1. Really a wrap of the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, including that great win by Brooks Koepka. So make sure you check that out, 7 p.m. Eastern. That is on FS1. And speaking of DVR info, make sure you're subscribed to the Clubhouse newsletter. Link is pinned atop my Twitter page, at Shane Bacon. It's just golf news, updates, everything you want, TV times, odds, leaderboard from the weekend, what event is being played around the world, and all the tours. It comes on your inbox on Monday. It comes in there on Wednesdays. Maybe this week you'll get one on Friday, considering it is going to be a crazy, crazy week with the Tiger Woods return. That is what we talked about with Brad Faxon. So make sure you subscribe to the Clubhouse newsletter. Just an easy way to get up to date on golf news if you haven't been able to keep up with it over the weekend, as, of course, lives do get in the way. Last thing, we had Eric Anders Lang on the podcast a few weeks back, and just a reminder, Adventures in Golf Season 2 continues to roll out, and every single one of them seems to get better and better. So make sure you check Adventures in Golf out, Eric Anders Lang, and also check out the podcast we did with him. It was a really, really great chat, one of my favorite conversations I've had through the course of this Clubhouse podcast. So that was a few weeks back. Go to twitter.com/scratch, S-K-R-A-T-C-H, and you can check out all the Adventures in Golf videos. If you like golf, even if you don't love golf and you're just kind of a fan of it, if you like travel, if you like adventures, check it out. He goes to some of the craziest places around this world to see golf played differently than maybe you're used to seeing it be played. So that is Adventures in Golf. That is a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, Brad Faxon here on the Clubhouse talking Donald Trump, talking Tiger Woods, talking Dustin Johnson as we prepare for Tiger's return on Thursday. And we now welcome into the Clubhouse the most forgotten man in the Twittersphere, Brad Faxon. Brad, you can't even get a shout out from the president on his golf tweet. I know you were asking for some follows. What happened there?
Well, Shane, you're going to love this. When the president showed up, Tiger and Dustin and I were on the range. I had played golf with him a few times before he got into office, and he had tweeted right before the round that he was playing golf with, like you said, Tiger and Dustin. And I kind of kidded him. I said, "Mr. President, where's the love? You know, I need a few more Twitter followers." He goes, "How many do you have?" And I was really kind of smiling inside that he was asking me how many Twitter followers I had. I said, "I have about 70,000, but I said, I need to get some more because I have 158 million. So it got off to a really fun start.
Well, you wrote a great piece for Golf Week, and I urge people that haven't read it to go check it out. You basically just wrote a firsthand account of what happened, the invite, how it went down. Did you ever think that it would become this big of a deal this fast? I mean, playing golf with the President of the United States, Tiger Woods, and oh, by the way, the number one golfer in the world, the almost forgotten guy in the foursome, Dustin Johnson. Did you ever think it was going to be this big of a deal 3 days after it happened?
Not really. You know, I think this is kind of a perfect storm, though, because, you know, Tiger's making his comeback this week. Obviously, the President of the United States plays a lot of golf, and he was playing four consecutive days in a row. But I was called by the director of golf at Trump Jupiter, of course, where I'm a member, and asked if I wanted to play Friday after Thanksgiving with the pro at Trump Jupiter, and then Tiger and Dustin, and then Tiger, excuse me, and President Trump. And I was, of course, I'd love to do that. And I thought I'd be in the cart with this pro, and Tiger and the president would be off kind of on themselves. It'd be a kind of a fun round. And then on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the pro called me and said, oh, by the way, I'm out, Dustin Johnson's in. And now I'm like, I kind of started getting nervous, Shane. You know, I was like, oh, no. So now I went through all these scenarios. Like, do I have to go start trying to hit it farther? What tees am I going to play? Who's going to be partners? What cart are we going to walk? If we're in carts, who's going to be with who? I was a mess. And when we got to the course, and Trump said, why don't you guys play the black tees? Now, the black tees at Trump Jupiter are 7,800 yards or 7,700. I said, I don't want any part of this. And I'm 56 years old. And I said, Mr. President, I said, what tees do you play? He said, I play the blue tees. Now, that's a 6,500 yards. And, you know, he's a good golfer. He's 70 years old and without a doubt is the best president, golfing president in the history. So I said, why don't I play up there with you and we'll play those two guys, the old guys versus the young guys. And he loved that idea. And so I love a little wager. So we put $20 down. We gave the president four aside. And that's how we started.
So you guys played as zeros and he played as basically an eight. I mean, would that be about where you assess, he's 71 years old. Is that about where you assess his handicap, somewhere in the eight index area?
Yeah, and I think that this is the funny part. We all know President Trump may exaggerate once or twice, but he thinks he's a three. and I said, you know, you are playing guys that are probably plus seven.
Right.
So why don't you feel good with four aside? He goes, oh, that's great. And, I was feeling that I could maybe hold my own from tees that are 1,000 yards shorter than theirs. And we actually had a really, really good match. I broke the ice by making a birdie on the first hole, and nobody else did. So we went one up. And President Trump made a 5-net 4 on the second hole to contribute early for a halve. And that got his juices flowing. So he was into it.
Yeah, well, you know, you wrote the piece on Golf Week. You mentioned, and this is really, I mean, as you've seen, when you write something like this about something this newsworthy, you know, snippets get pulled out. The thing that's really been pulled out is you saying that Tiger outdrove Dustin Johnson about half the time. And Dustin Johnson was second on the PGA Tour last year in driving distance, one of the longest players really on earth in the sense of professional golf. And you said about 10 times during the round they both hit drivers from the same tees. Was DJ surprised at this? Were you surprised at seeing Tiger Woods at 40 years old hitting his driver past one of the longest guys currently in the game?
I think so. And it started right on the first hole. You know, Dustin Johnson is not number one in the world, by default. This guy's incredible. He may be the best driver of the golf ball I've ever seen. He hit this drive with just a slight fade. He's got beautiful launch conditions, you know, and the ball doesn't curve much. And on the first hole, you know, Tiger had only played this course once before. Dustin says, even at that bunker out there, you won't be able to reach it. Dustin hit a nice fade right down the middle, and then Tiger hit it into that bunker. So I think that got Dustin's attention immediately. And then on the 17th hole, a really narrow par 5 from that back tee, they both carried it over this bunker, and there were – and I'm hitting from, say, 40, 50 yards up, and I hit my best drive of the day. And there were three balls kind of within 30 yards of each other on a line. And I was kind of curious, you know, whose was who. And thankfully, mine was the closest one to the hole because I was up so far. But Tiger was past Dustin by about 15 yards in that hole. And I think that one surprised Dustin because he goes, I got that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, is this a guy, you know, and I'm going to ask you about distance as a whole, really, with this story, because, again, this has been the big part of your story that's been pulled out. But, you know, is this 330 yards these guys are hitting it? I mean, is this something you're seeing from Tiger that reminded you of a guy in 99 that was out driving everybody by a Walmart or a Target?
Well, I would say yes. And there's a couple caveats here, Shane. First of all, you know, this is a casual fun round. This isn't
right.
Flag up where they're ready to go. But it was a pain-free Tiger. It was a relaxed Tiger and a happy man. And a happy man, I say that because he's finally able to swing a golf club without worrying about how his back or his leg are going to feel a day later. You could see in his gait when he was just walking down the fairway that, you know, he wasn't favoring one side or the other. I think his swing looked a little bit more like he was in the early 2000s, a little bit more around like he was with Butch. The face of the club and the plane of the club were in a much better spot. Swing was a little bit short, you know, his rotation through the ball, maybe not quite as quick with his lower body. And maybe that's something he's worked on to stop the club from being, you know, a little bit later underneath like we've seen before. He definitely had some zip throughout the set. And Shane, you know, I did ask him a question I think everybody would like to hear. I said to him, what's going to be the hardest thing for you? You know, you can come back to competition after being months and months away. He said, well, honestly, I think really figuring out how far I'm going to hit the ball because I'm hitting it so far.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, in this, one of the things that I'm very interested in is this is a guy that's been injury plagued really, you know, over the last 8-9 years. This is a guy that's really struggled with his back. We've seen knee issues, a lot of it because of the powerful golf swing and the coil he's had through that golf swing that made him so great. You, I mean, and I don't know if everybody knows this, you're a guy that is obsessed with the golf swing. You study it. You talk about it. You have plenty of golf instructor friends of yours that you'll text. I mean, even one of the first times I played golf with you, you sent a video of my swing to a friend of yours and you didn't even ask me. You know, you just said, you know, this is what he had to say about your swing and what he thinks you could do different. When you saw Tiger swing, and we've seen videos now circulating as he's gotten to Albany and getting ready for the Hero World, were you more impressed than you thought you'd be with the move Tiger had right now? And do you see it as something effective enough to play injury free, hopefully, and to possibly compete?
Well, that's a couple questions there, a couple answers. You know, I got a little inkling from, you know, seeing Ricky Fowler's tweets earlier about when he had played with Tiger, the Tiger got his speed back and was hitting the ball past Ricky, who's one of the longer hitters as well. And then on the second hole on Friday, Tiger had a second shot into a par five from 265 and into a left to right wind. And he was going to hit a two iron, and it was one of those two irons that didn't have a head cover. You know, it wasn't a hybrid. It was a driving iron looking club. And I just looked at this shot and said, oh, I'd be laying up here because it was water in front and just the lousy wind off a tight fairway. And this ball got up in the air quick. It had a little bit of a draw, and halfway to the green, Tiger said, sit down. And I went, sit down from what? And it landed just about pin high and rolled over the back of the green. And that's the kind of shot we used to see Tiger Woods hit. Now, if there were 14 holes where you'd call driving holes, like three of them were long iron shots off the tees, laying up for position. But Tiger hit one drive off the fairway on the tough par 5 sixth hole on a course in a hole that he wasn't very familiar with. But even that shot didn't look like it was a problem. You know, and Dustin Johnson didn't miss one fairway. And I'm telling you, he put on an absolute clinic off the tee. But there were equally as many holes where Tiger was past Dustin's drives. And, you know, I would say Tiger doesn't – I don't think he's back to 100% where I'm going to say, yeah, he's going to win this week.
Right.
Because we haven't seen what he's going to do with the rest of his game. And I still think – he's probably working on his swing with Como to try and get a little bit of the right to left curve out. He's still drawing the ball a little bit more than I think he wants, but it's pretty good.
Well, I mean, you show up to this day, and as you said, you were a little bit nervous. I'm sure it was a lot of fun, especially getting that early birdie out of the way. But when you left, would you say you were more impressed with Tiger's game than you thought you'd be? And also playing with Dustin Johnson, were you more impressed with Dustin's game than you thought you'd be never playing with him before?
Yeah, I had never played with Dustin before. And, you know, certainly the last 3 years, he's been the focus at our U.S. Opens on Fox. So I was familiar watching at the ball, but I couldn't believe the ease and the effortless power that Dustin Johnson had, whether it was a four iron from 250 on a par three or a driver where he had trouble left and trouble right. It was beautiful. And then I was also anxious to watch Tiger. You know, how was he going to pitch the ball? How was he going to chip the ball? And he actually looked like he had a little showman back in him. You know, he had a couple low spinners, a couple high lobbers. And on one particular hole where most of us would have putted from four steps off the green, he had brought a 60-degree sand wedge over. It was the wrong club to use because it was a shot he would have to run. So he just played this ball back in his stance, kind of hit this little hooky chip shot with his 60, which we know off tight, grainy Bermuda is not easy, and he snuggled it right up next to the flag.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be a question I asked you was, you know, we talked about his distance off the tee, but really the biggest gap between old Tiger and the current Tiger we saw in tournament play especially was that pitching and chipping. So it's good to hear that he was comfortable enough to do it. And as you mentioned, no ropes up. I mean, this is a casual round of golf. Do you have any idea what Tiger posted? I mean, I know you guys were probably keeping score since you had a match going. Any idea what he finished up with at a tough golf course from a lengthy tee?
Yeah, and I kind of went through it the best I could with all the guys just to see if, you know, where we were. And, you know, there were a couple holes where, you know, if Dustin had made a birdie already, Tiger might not putt his 5-footer for par. So I would say both those guys were a couple under. I would say I was maybe the same. You know, we all made a few birdies and a few bogeys, but it was solid golf. I would say the stroke, I don't know what you call it, course rating of that golf course had to be, you know, par was 72. I got to believe it was a 77 or a 78, like, par golf. I mean, it was tough. It was windy. And I think the president would have shot all around in the low 80s, you know, give or take a few, you know, not really mulligans, but, you know, yeah, you can do that one over again.
Right.
So, yeah, it was good golf.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it had to have been. And then you said in your piece you had a birdie putt on the last hole. You left it short. Now, I have played enough golf with you, Brad Faxon, to know you don't leave many of these putts short. Your line you've always given to me is we're just wasting daylight out here when you have a 10-footer or so. You had to have left that short on purpose. Tell me the truth. You left that one short on purpose.
Well, I always tell people, have you seen the movie The Color of Money when you know, he missed the bank shot across the table to make it look like he lost. I'm saying that on my putt. My putt wasn't actually short. It was just to the left. And it had a little lip of the cup where the ball actually rolled to the edge. It looked like it was going to fall, and then it rolled away. So, yeah, it wasn't my best putt, but I concluded that article by saying it was probably – politically correct.
It was politically correct. I love that line to wrap it up. Was Tiger, I mean, this is a guy that's infamous for trash talking. When he was hitting it past Dustin Johnson, was he trash talking him? Was he getting a little into him, needling him a little bit?
Not at all. You know, they were in a separate cart, and, you know, President Trump was, you know, he loved watching this. He went back to watch every single tee shot, talk to the guys. You know, he's an entertainer, really, the president, you know, we can remember, obviously, from the present apprentice days. But I think he just wanted to watch these guys drive it. And, you know, Dustin had this kind of a penetrating, piercing fade that didn't move much. And most guys, like, you know, your shot, you hit the ball a lot of speed, but you have a lot of spin. His ball has very little spin. And once the ball lands, it rolls. And then Tiger's ball flight would probably be 2 or 3 degrees. Not much spin, but had more curve to the left. And so different looking flights that got out there in the same place a lot.
And now that you got a chance to do that, when you rank memorable rounds of golf in your life, where does this one rank for you? I mean, you've played in major championships, you've played Augusta National, you've played all these other places, but I mean, where does this rank for you?
Well, if you were just going to rank your rounds by how much notoriety you got after a round, and I've told a bunch of people this since that day, I have been consumed by people that have called me, texted me, written. And you know what, Shane, it's the golfing world that wants to hear about Tiger. It's the political or non-golfing world that wants to hear about the president, and both sides of the aisle want to hear about Trump, the lover him and his game and what he had to say, and so did the haters. So it was unbelievable, this response. And we talked about how in this article that I did for Golf Week, it's done so many impressions. I've been consumed, and I've been unable to kind of get on with my life since then. And you know, that calls from CNN to go on Aaron Burnett's show tonight, got a call from Fox and Friends to go on their show tomorrow morning, did Golf Channel hit this morning. It's just been remarkable.
I just wanted to ask a couple things to finish up. And one was not just this week, but playing 18 holes, you had a chance to be around him. What are the expectations that you see with Tiger after talking to him, seeing him play, hearing about his honest assessment of his game going forward? What do you think you could see from him, not just this week, but the next, say, 6 months or so?
You know, if you remember last year when he came back and played this exact event, he wasn't fully healthy, but he made a lot of birdies and he made a lot of bogeys. He didn't drive the ball particularly great. And I would say, Shane, that his game is 100% better today than it was a year ago today. So I don't think this is the most difficult golf course. If there's windy conditions, that'll be a little bit more challenging for sure for him. You know, just learn to get that flight of the ball down and, like we said earlier, control the distance the ball's going for him. But I feel like from watching him that he's gone in such a good direction the last few months, both, you know, physically and mentally for sure. And his golf game is absolutely reflecting that.
Did you sense that he was excited about this? Because, you know, if you think back to 2 years ago at this exact event, he had the press conference and everybody took away from it, you know, this was a guy that doesn't want to play golf anymore. And now we're seeing him, you know, videos of him swinging. He's even making Star Wars jokes with his little stingers. Did you sense that he was excited about getting back out there in between the ropes?
100%. And, you know, what really, you know, we didn't talk about this, but my take is, you know, hanging around as one of the assistant captains for the Ryder Cup kind of teased him. You know, he's been mentoring some of the players, phone calls from some of the top players like Justin Thomas or Jason Day. And I think that could be a little fuel to even get him back, because he knows how good these young players are playing right now, and he's tasting it. And I think that a little bit like when Mark O'Meara was kind of mentoring Tiger, I'm wondering if this can be the same sort of movement for Tiger, where he's going to hang around. You know, he lives next to Justin and Ricky, getting to play with those guys, Rory. Will he be able to, you know, have that propel him back?
I was going to ask, I've always been interested about this. You know, I had a friend that worked at the Phoenician here in Phoenix when President Obama came through and he played a round of golf, and he said there was like 17 golf carts out on the holes and they had all the security and stuff. Was the security out there, was there more than you thought there'd be?
You know, it wasn't obtrusive for the round. It was comfortable because there were really, there were no spectators allowed to walk around the golf course with me. I thought that would be impossible to prevent.
Right.
You know, there were no members driving carts around following the group. But there were, you know, about 50 Secret Service and staff there that would walk around. You know, they do a good job at scoping a few holes ahead, scouting the holes ahead. Whenever there was any sort of homes or roads by the perimeter of a hole, they'd have, you know, Secret Service with binoculars. You know, it was really impressive to
right.
see what they do to protect our president. And, you know, obviously, you know, there are going to be detractors and say it's too expensive to do all this stuff. But, you know, as technology has evolved, security has become more important, you know, in every way of life, whether it's at a school or a business, you know, or at golf tournaments. And the president is, you know, the number one protected person in the world. And, you know, we saw that capability on Friday.
Now, one of the other questions I've always wondered, did they look for any golf balls? I mean, if President Trump hit one, you know, into, I don't know, the rough or into the trees or something like that, was there anybody there that was like, oh, it's over here?
Did Secret Service look for golf balls?
Yeah, no, did they just point him in the direction? That you know, I mean, it's like a four caddy that, you know, always go up there and the lie's a little better.
You know, you may find this hard to believe, especially with me hitting balls off a tee. Nobody lost any balls. You know, the president is a good golfer. He drives every shot he hit was like 220 yards in the air, little draw. I don't think he lost a ball except for a couple iron shots he hit in the water on the ninth hole in particular, but you know, Tiger didn't hit it out of, he hit out of play one hole, and we had caddies out there. We had two caddies that were kind of, one was four caddying, one was with the group. So, no, we never spent time looking for golf balls.
All right, and I didn't
It was remarkable, though, that every time a golf ball got close to, say, President Trump's got close to, you know, where there might have been some higher grass, it looked like he always had a full swing.
Interesting. It's so weird when that happens. It is really, really strange. My last question. Yeah, my last question, I didn't ask you this to start, and it's something I've been asking a lot of people, especially, you know, people that have played golf professionally for a while. Do you remember the first set of golf clubs, like adult clubs, like real clubs, that you ever owned when you were a kid?
Absolutely, yeah. Walter Hagens. You know, my grandfather was a really good golfer, and he had three kids, my dad, and, you know, back then we all got hand-me-downs, and there were, you know, some remaining sets, and I had a Louis Suggs driver was my first driver. It was actually a two-wood, and then I had some Walter Hagens, and then later on some McGregors. But yeah, I think the first irons I had were Walter Hagens by Wilson.
Walter Hagens. Well, Brad, I appreciate.
And this would have been a late '60s thing.
Late '60s,
well before you were born.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I know you're a busy guy, and I know you said you've got a lot of requests to jump on and talk here and talk there. You know, we have a lengthy, I guess, wait until we get to broadcast golf again. But this is exciting. People are excited about Tiger coming back. Love it or hate it, it is going to be a lot of fun to watch on Thursday. I mean, how do you not watch this round of golf at the Hero World if you're a fan of this sport and you were able to watch Tiger Woods play golf for all those years?
Well, you know, you already saw the Vegas odds, whether that's his first two shots or not. I'd take the over on this one. I think he's going to surprise the people.
Well, Brad, I appreciate it. Have a safe flight, and we will chat with you soon.
Okay, Shane, good talking to you. Thanks.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
A big thanks to Brad Faxon, and he's a very busy man right now. He's getting request after request to come on TV shows and podcasts, radio shows, all that stuff, just to talk about this thing. It blew up bigger than I think he ever thought it would, and it has been really the topic of not just golf, but sports over the last 4 and 5 days, as, of course, Brad got a chance to tee it up with a pretty star-studded threesome there with President Trump, Tiger Woods, and Dustin Johnson. Just a reminder, you need a gift for the golfer. He needs a new golf bag. She needs a new golf bag. Go to ogio.com and check out that Sierra Stand bag. You can use the clubhouse at checkout, and you will save 20%. That is what you just knock right off the top of it. And it's for everything. You can get a stand bag. You can get a travel bag. Even that Renegade backpack that I've talked so much of the last few months. I carry that everywhere I go, any trip I'm on. It is an unbelievable thing to carry with you. Easy on the shoulders, and you can fit everything and anything you need to have on that airplane for those long flights as you prepare to go home for the holidays. Ogio.com. Use the clubhouse at checkout, and you'll save 20%. I still have a whole bunch of clubhouse stickers. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page, Shane Bacon Golf. Send me a message. Ask for a sticker. I will mail it to you. You don't even have to buy a stamp. I'll buy the stamp for you. That's what I'll do for you. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you did, go give us a review, a rating. It helps. It boosts this up so other people can see the podcast, and hopefully we can get more and more guests. We've got some lined up for the next few weeks. I hope you guys are excited. I hope you get a chance to tee it up, but may I suggest, get it in before the Tiger Woods round on Thursday or Friday, and of course he'll be playing over the weekend as well. It will be exciting. We're excited for the Hero World Challenge. I'm just excited to see what he does. Brad Faxon got us more fired up, and I hope you're fired up as well. Get out and play a little golf this week and make a few birdies.